actually going to move this so it's not hitting my chest the entire time. Hey, give it up for Sarah Reeves. I mean, Brittany. She did forget her phone, which means let's take a group selfie. All right, I don't know how to do this. There, ready? One, two, three. Hold on, no, I didn't get Hope or McKenzie. One of you stood up. Hold on, one, two, three. All right, there we go.
Did I make it? Did I make it?
I don't know if you did or not, but it's your phone, so you can check. That's your phone. All right, so we have been in Renew University this month, and we've been talking about starting clean in 2018. So you can feel free to grab a Bible, a pen, a book to write on, any of those things. We are going to deal tonight with a topic that is a controversial topic. We're going to deal with something that a lot of people struggle with, and it makes sense that we struggle with it. But as we go throughout life, this is something that can get worse and worse, and in fact, it can get a lot harder to deal with and for us to control. So we're going to look at it tonight. But first, I want to ask this. How many of you enjoy, truly enjoy, being in front of a group of people? Okay, there's a couple of us. I really enjoy it. Like, you could give me a microphone, send me out in front of 50,000 people and just say talk, and it would not bother me whatsoever. I would go out there and tell a story about something, but it would not bother me to walk out there. Now, some of you, before you even got to the steps to go up on stage, would just die. Like, you would just die as you are about to get up on stage. So as we talk tonight, you can hit to the next slide. We are not going to be talking about the idea of you giving a speech in front of people. However, it would be a ton of fun for me to make you give speeches up here and just watch you squirm. But I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it this time because you'll have that in college and you'll hate it. Even if you like speaking in front of people, you'll hate it. But we are going to deal tonight more of your words. I will tell you this story. So I went to Bible college, and my first year of Bible college, I went to a school that had like 7,500, 8,000 students, but it was considered big within the realm of Christian colleges. So I went there, and I took SP 101, Speech 101, and it's always weird because you don't know the people. Like, it's not like a big crowd where you can get up and nobody will remember you. It's like small enough that you're like, these people are judging me, but they have to do the same thing. So you have this connection with people. Well, I got there, and like I said, I don't mind getting up in front of people and giving speeches. Well, they made us memorize like this little poem, and I forget, I was trying to find it. But it was like a story about like a rabbit and something else. It was like a monologue story. But anyways, I memorized mine and do it. And so I did it in front of the class. Again, it doesn't bother me whatsoever. So my teacher comes to me the next week. She's like, hey, there's a high school speech group that's coming in, and we want to have our best performers from our classes go in front and do the speeches that you prepared a couple weeks ago. And I was like, okay, that's fine. She's like, it's probably going to be like 50 students or something like that. So I was like, it doesn't bother me one bit because, first off, I don't much care what high schoolers thought of me at that point. So even if they laughed, it didn't bother me. So I get ready. I go backstage. Well, I knew something was up when we went to what was called the Dale Horton Auditorium, and it seats like 1,000, 1,500 people. So I thought, we shouldn't be here for 50 people. We should be in a classroom. So I get backstage, and this other dude gets off the stage, and he looks at me, and he said something along the lines of, I'm making up the conversation. It was something along these lines that was like, did you know that there's going to be that many people? And I said, I don't know how many people are out there. He's like, oh, you'll see, which I'm like, thanks, buddy. You know, thanks for telling me how many there are. Just, oh, you'll see. So I walk out on stage, and it's one of those, the theaters that's got like the ground floor seating, but then it's got the upper floor seating. And it's got all the spotlights just like this does, so it's hard to see everywhere. But I walk out on stage, I walk up to the mic, and they had it set like this where you just walked up and you did your speech. And I look up, the whole bottom floor is full of students. The half, at least half of the top was full with students. And so you don't have time to question. It's not going to be like, hey, I thought there was only 70. Or, you know, you, like, you can't like talk to people back there. So I just go on with my speech, right? Like I just go on, you know, get it and do my whole rabbit and whatever the other thing was, speech. So I give the speech. I walk backstage and my speech teacher's there and she's like, just like, you know, white with fear. Like, I am so sorry. They told me it was going to be 50 students. Apparently, this is like some major speech group of high schools that have all come together, and there was like 1,500 kids out there. But see, for me, it didn't bother me. Like, it could have been 25, it could have been 25,000. I still would have gone out and been like, so there's this rabbit, right? Like, it doesn't bother me to do those things. Some people it does, but what we're going to talk about tonight is not about speaking in front of people. It's not the idea of your stage presence. It's not even really the idea about your commanding tone. The idea that we're going to talk tonight about is your words. In James chapter 3, we find a passage that kind of gives us the context of this. Many of you have heard James chapter 3 and some of it's preached on, but I want us to read through it and kind of get an understanding, a little better of an understanding about what we're talking with. So James chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. He says, "My brethren," this is James, obviously writing to the church, "let not many of you become teachers." Yeah, that's great for us, right? "Knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." So what he's saying here is this. Before I get into what the tongue can do, if you're going to say that you're called, and in this context, he's talking about a preacher teacher, not like, you know, a teacher at a high school. He's talking about one who has to open the word of God and say, this is what God's word says. He says, let not many of you become teachers, knowing you'll receive a stricter judgment. Because whether you believe it or not, one day I stand before God to give an account for the words I say to you tonight. Like if I say something to you that says, or portrays that God doesn't love you, or that God doesn't care about you, or that God is angry with you, or any of these things, then I stand before God one day and he goes, yeah, that's not what the Bible teaches, so you portrayed who I am wrong. And I give an account for that. So that's what he's talking about. It's not the idea of like, don't do it, man, don't do it. It's just the idea that these people who are like, I think I'm going to preach. Okay, it's not that simple. You stand before God one day for what you're doing. So number two, for we all stumble in many things, right? If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle or to control the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us. And a bit, if you don't know, goes right over top of the tongue of a horse. And when you pull back on it, it clamps down on their tongue so that when you say, whoa, you know how they always, you're riding that thing at Chuck E. Cheese and whoa, and you pull back on it. The idea is it clamps down on their tongue so that it stops them in their track because of the pain. But as a horse learns, it no longer needs the bit because it learns that when you pull back on the rein, it's like a shot collar for dogs. Y'all chill. Okay, when your dog goes out and gets, you know, that's it only happens for a little bit before it gets trained, okay? So it's just like that. So he says that this one, if anyone does not stumble, he is perfect. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body, like I talked about. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Then he goes on to compare it. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire. It's a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on that fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. You can go watch any YouTube video and pretty much there's a tamed animal for everything. Like, everything. We're just like, not this, YouTube it. It is, okay? They're all tamed. So, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. By the way, our world is picture perfect of this today. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude or the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. So James here points out, it's not about our ability to speak in front of people. It's not about our ability to stand in front of people and direct their thinking or direct their belief system or whatever. Excuse me. The idea of what he's talking about here is your daily talk with your friends, your daily conversations you have at the lunch table, the daily responses you have to parents, the way you speak to your employer, the way you text or Snapchat or whatever that person, the words that you use, how they formulate, how they dictate what you're saying, that's what he's talking about. And so what he's saying here is that there are a couple of principles that we can learn from. There's another passage I want to turn to get the basic principle. But number one on your outline, here's the first principle we can learn from James, is that it begins in the heart. We're actually going to, I'm going to flip over to Matthew chapter 12 and read just three verses for you so you can get where this is from. But it begins in the heart is on your notes. Matthew chapter number 12, beginning in verse 33, the Bible says this: "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers," right? You're going to go back to your friend stabbing in the back and call him that. "You brood of vipers. How can you, being evil, speak good things? He's talking to the Pharisees here, by the way. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what we learn about this with Matthew and then with James, it's kind of cemented in, is that your words that you use start in the heart. They don't start because of your influences. They don't start because of this or that. In fact, I would say that one of the easiest bridges to having bad language is listening to some of the modern day music, because so many of us, and I do too at work, I plug in my earbuds and then I get to work and I just let music pour in. Now, mine's normally Christian, but I just let it pour in as I'm working. But some of that stuff, like there are some songs that I didn't even know I heard until I listened to them when I don't have my earbuds in, but they just came on the radio while I was working. I didn't realize it, but I knew it when I heard it the next time from that. So there's a lot of these gaps that get bridged by music. But anyways, it's not about your music, okay? Your music may curse, but that doesn't force you to curse. Your music may say terrible things, but that don't force you to say terrible things. Where it comes from is your heart. And some of us try so hard to control our tongue before we ever control our heart. And there is a world of people out there that will speak very evil things. Now, let me identify this. There's a difference between truly evil things and truth that hurts, okay? Someone can look at you and say, you are not lining up with what God's word says. That's not evil, that's truth. If they look at you and say, you're a brood of vipers, okay, maybe then, you know, if they're looking at you for no reason, you're a brood of vipers, maybe, okay? But there is a difference between someone telling you the truth and then someone speaking evil, okay? By the way, in our society nowadays, people need to take a stand and speak truth, right? Like, we don't need to be, oh my gosh, I don't want to hurt, I don't want to be triggered, you know, I don't want to hurt anybody with my words, so I'm not going to say anything. No, we need people that will stand up and speak out for what's right, what we know and what we believe. But the way that we say those words, if we're doing it from a right heart, will change the motive and it will change the ending of it entirely. Because a lot of us will struggle with complaining. In fact, let's use one that we can all identify with. Some of you speak so terribly to your parents. Like the way your parents, when you get home and they're like, hey, what's up? You're like, I don't even want to talk to you. And it's like, they didn't even do anything to you. You just automatically like, boom, I don't want, yeah, you know, just angry at them for no apparent reason. And some of you struggle so much with, I just can't be nice to my parents. And I don't even like my parents and blah, blah, blah. I wish I could say nice things, but I can't. And I'm just struggling to say nice things. It's not your tongue. It's not your words. It's your heart. Because somewhere in your heart, your parents don't have the place they need to have. And so therefore, you will respond in a way that is not biblical, that's not fitting to what God's standards are, because the person in your heart's place is not where they're supposed to be. The same way for us, for me, is with Miss Brittany. If I respond in anger and in just being a jerk to her, the way that I respond is not just because she annoyed me. It's not just because I had a long day at work. It's not just because I was dealing with a bunch of things on my own. That is no excuse for how I respond. What it is an excuse for is my heart. And it'll point to my heart, because Christ says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it begins in your heart. Number two, it can burn a forest down. It can burn a forest down. You want to see someone's life go to crap, start a rumor. And with our words, and some of you are masters at starting rumors accidentally. You know what I mean? You know those people like, well, I don't know for sure, but I heard. And you didn't hear. But now it doesn't go back to you. Well, I don't know who they heard it from, right? You can burn a forest down with the words you use about somebody. Teen suicide is on the rise. Now, a lot of that is because they don't feel like there is another option, but a lot of it is in part due to bullying. Now, again, I have to do sidetracks, because I want you to understand this. There is bullying, right? Like, bullying is real in schools. But there's also people that just aren't used to being told something they don't like, and so they claim bullying, okay? there is bullying before you go and be like, it's new bullying. Okay, I'm not saying that. I just bullied you, right? Don't go out and say that. There is. But sometimes we just need to learn how to kind of adapt to how the world works, because the world is sinful. There are sinful people in the world. They're not always going to be nice to you. And so if every time someone sinful says something negative to you and it's, then there's an issue, okay? There is bullying. But how you can say things and what words you use can burn a forest down. You looking at your parents and saying, I hate you, can burn a forest down. There was a, what TV show was that, or movie or something like that, that we saw? Oh, This Is Us. By the way, I want to murder that TV show, because if there is ever terrible parenting, it is Mandy Moore and the dead dude. Like, what, he dies, I don't know when. It's a house fire. I've already watched it. I've already, it's not even out yet. It's not even, Jack, is that his name? Of course he's, she's remarried because he died. What? That's like a, anyways, okay. So Mandy Moore is there, and the kid walks in, okay? This little blonde kid walks in, and he walks in, and he's like, he's obviously angry, which, by the way, kids are going to be, but he walks in, and he says something to her, and she's like, I don't even know the names of the character, Kevin. She's like, Kevin, I don't understand what's wrong, or she says something to him, and through this, he's just like, whatever, and like back and forth, and the whole time, like, my blood pressure is rising. Like, it just is. Like, the moment he walked in with that attitude and was like, whatever, I was like, and then, like, I'm like, you know. So, like, my blood pressure's starting to rise a little bit. And then he looks at his mother and says, I hate you. So help me God, you guys can hold me witness. If my son ever looks at my wife and says, I hate you, he will not walk for weeks because of the bruises on his behind. I hope you understand. My son will never say I hate you to his mother. Ever. Ever. Thank you. Your words can burn a forest down. And I'll tell you why. If my son says I hate you to me, I'm going to go, oh, you do you? But for my wife, if he says I hate you to her, someone who has cared for him since she carried him over term and gave birth to him, for him to say I hate you to her is going to hurt her a lot more than it's going to hurt me. So I'm not going to murder him, all right? But I will deal with him if he ever were to say that to her, because it can burn a forest down in her life. If he were to look at her and say, I hate you, Mom, it would burn a forest down. And even if he came back and said, I'm sorry, there's no recovering from hearing I hate you. So your words can change someone's life just by how you put them. And some of you will use words, and we will too, and I will too, but we can use words that aren't necessarily bad, but that was a double negative, I know, but they aren't necessarily bad, but at the same time, we don't use them in a good way. You know what I mean? Like, we're not mean about how we say things to people, but we get our point across. Let me give you an example, and I'm going to preach to me. Sarcasm. I'm a sarcastic as heck person. I love sarcasm, by the way. I don't mind it being thrown back at me. I just don't mind. I love sarcasm. But one of the negative things about me being so sarcastic is a lot of times, Miss Brittany's back there shaking her head, a lot of times the way that I deal with things is to be sarcastic. It's just me. But other people take sarcasm differently than I take sarcasm. Like, I could be sitting there and someone could be like, oh man, it really smells in here, AJ, you know, and it's like, I'd be like, oh, good one, you know, and I don't take anything from it. Other people do, right? So even for me, even for you, we have to be careful about our words, because they can burn a forest down. There could be people, and I don't know, they've never told me, there could be people that would never come back to 412 based off the words I use from up here. So that's why he says in James, by the way, don't be a teacher, because you're held to a higher standard. But your words can burn a forest down. By the way, your words can also water it. If you are someone who will go and, as it uses the idea of sweet water, if you go and you water people's forests with kind words, it will grow, it will edify, it will build up. That's what edify means. It will build up their life. Let your words not be about burning things. I know we all use a little fire emoji, right? Let it not be about burning things and burning people. Let it be about building them up. Replace it with the leaf, not the marijuana leaf, but replace it with the leaf that says you are building people up rather than burning them down. Number three, can bless or curse. The Bible here is going to teach us that as Christians, we are not supposed to have blessings and cursings coming from our mouth. Now, here's the controversial part. Some of you, when you're here, would never, God help you, never utter a curse word, ever, while you're here. You'd be, not doing it, you know, or whatever, or around your family or whatever. But you get around your friends, case in point, I was at the gym this morning, and funny story, by the way, I'll tell you afterwards, but I was at the gym this morning, and there was this guy there, I don't know what his name is, but we were out in the free weights area, and he was talking with one of the ladies that was there, not like a girl, but like, you know, just a good conversation. So it wasn't a meat market, he was talking to her. So they were having a conversation, and he was like polite, and he was like being nice and all that stuff. I was like, oh, this guy's nice. We get back to the locker room, like, and we use the same like locker area. And I told him, I was like, oh my gosh, man, I forgot my suit pants at the house. So I like had to wear my basketball shorts back to the house with my shirt and tie. But anyways, I was like, I forgot my suit pants back at the house. And he was like, dude, just went off. Like, not being mean or anything, just be like, oh yeah, man, I blank and hate when I blank and do that. I blank and do that just the other blank and week. And then blank and yeah, man, I like came here and blank and there and it was left and blank and there. I was like, like, are we besties? What just happened, you know? But the dude just, like, let go with these words that, I mean, like, I didn't do that. I wasn't like, whoa, man, or anything like that. I was like, uh-huh, you need Jesus. No, but I was, as I stood there and listened, I was like, oh, my gosh, his words are completely different from one to the other. You can bless or curse, but here's the thing. God says of a Christian, there should not be blessing and cursing coming from your mouth. So, but when people come to me and say, is cursing okay? There should not be blessing and cursing coming from your mouth. But what does that mean? There should not be blessing and cursing coming from your mouth. But what if it's not that big of a deal? What if everybody uses it? Oh, let's look at the end. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? No. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? Of course not. Or a grapevine bear figs? Why, of course not. Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. And the Bible tells us over and over again that he has built up in us a spring of living water, a fresh new water. Your mouth should not have blessing and cursing coming out. As a Christian, your words and your speech are the first way someone will identify you as a Christian. That's how they talk about in Acts. They identified them first as Christians in Antioch because of the way they talked. So your speech, your words, come from your heart. They give us what's in here. You can sit with somebody for a couple minutes and find out what's in their heart. I love doing this, and now I'm giving you my trick of the trade, but sometimes I'll go to people and just be like, I heard what happened. And I don't know what happened. But I heard what happened. And they just, I did this and he did this. I'm like, Because you give people a couple minutes talking and you can see right into their heart. Oh, there's this girl. And you can see where their priorities, where their desires, where this whatever lies based off of how you talk to them and what their words are. And they can use those words. You can use your words to burn a forest down or to water it. But I'm telling you this right now. Don't claim Christianity out in the world and go out there using a filthy mouth. Because the Bible says that blessing and cursing shouldn't come from the same place. I'm not saying that we don't struggle. Man, I get angry sometimes and, you know, son of a nutcracker and all that stuff. So I understand, you know. I understand. But the Bible calls us to a higher standard. Why? Because we're Christians and God has put in us a spring of living water so that we can water other people's forests. So this week at school, we talked on Sunday night about serving somebody. Maybe tomorrow you make a commitment to go to somebody and water them with some good words. Maybe it's somebody you've said some bad words to in the past, and they're going to look at you like, what are you doing here? But go and give them some good words and water them up. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I know as I was preaching, and Lord, I know we've gone all the way until 8:15, but as we were talking tonight, Lord, I can see in some people's eyes, the moment I mentioned a certain situation or something, their eyes just kind of flickered like, oh, crap, he knows. So, Lord, I pray for those who have been convicted, not by me, but by your Holy Spirit and by your word, that tonight they would make things right. If it's with their parents, which a lot of us struggle with in high school, that they would go to them and make it right. Lord, that they would begin to water that. Lord, if it's with a friend, if it's with a coworker, an employer, whatever it is, that, Lord, their words would direct back to you, that as that water gets poured onto that other person's forest, that they would look and go, why is this growing so well? Because Jesus Christ created a new spring of living water in me. God, would you help us to be about speaking highly because you are better? It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.